Chris, before I get into topics like Tennessee or LSU or what have you, Jason says, please ask Chris his thoughts on Alabama with Bill O'Brien and Doug Marrone. Do you like those situations?
Well, first of all, think about this for a second. Those are two coaches that a month ago were head coaches in the NFL.
Not bad, huh? That.
Yeah, both of those guys know each other, worked together back at Georgia Tech days as assistants. Bill, what is really good about it is Doug is so good teaching the run game and working with the offensive line. And, you know, Bill's so good with the passing game and working with quarterbacks that even though I don't think they're necessarily going to put it in terms of title, I think that Doug will have, you know, a lot of involvement in coordinating the run game, which the offensive line coaches pretty much always do, but who have a lot of input there. And then obviously Bill will be the play caller. I think you can only really do that at Alabama. Saban's the only one that can do that, to where those guys look at it as, go there. It's not if, but we will have success, and we can go at any time. We'll have any number of opportunities, you know, where we want to go. So it's a great move for them, and yet, and the other thing that I think gets missed is Bill O'Brien has been doing work, kind of like studying and providing some input and providing some reports for weeks and weeks now. So it's like a month or 6 week interview.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you know, Saban can make an assessment on, well, how this is going to fit personality wise. I mean, he did that with Kiffin. He's done that with a lot of guys. So it's a unique circumstance to where you never know, all right, well, in the interview, how you know if it's going to be the right fit. Well, the interviews last so long, they become a part of it. They're there on campus for. It's one of the reasons why he never announces anything until at once, because, you know, if something were to happen to change for them, or if Nick decides to go something else, they can turn around and do that, you know, next week if he wants to. He's got an unusual situation that he's created with the success that he can do things that others can't do.
Among all the things that Nick's better than everybody else at, that's one of them, right? Transitioning all the coaches who flow in and out of that roster. And not that every hire is the best, most perfect, but he does that seemingly within their system better than anybody else we know of.
Yeah, and so you can also take the guys that he puts as analysts. All right, so guys, Vice says, well, he spent all that money. They spend less money on analysts than a lot of folks because most of the analysts are getting paid by their previous coaching stop. So where some people have to pay an analyst $75,000, $80,000, he can get away with paying them $30,000 because they're making, you know, gobs of money from their previous stop. And as an analyst, there again, they have 1, 2, sometimes 3 years to kind of show Nick whether that person is somebody he wants to move up or whether, you know, he can help him get a job somewhere else. So in other words, if Nick wanted to make a move with the offensive coordinator position with somebody on his staff, he would have done it. He just, you know, if he doesn't do it, it's because, you know, he doesn't want to, and then he'll just help that guy leave to find that job somewhere else. Because if you notice, he never really fires anybody. They all end up with other jobs, but there's a reason why they're ending somewhere else. Scott Cochran, you know, that, oh, man, he left. He was looking to make a move because he thought that strength and conditioning got stale. So that's fine. Now, I don't think he was particularly happy with him going to Georgia, but he wasn't going to be there. And yet he didn't let him go. He let him leave, and that's the way he does it. So really he's done that, you know, since his LSU days.
Chris, I don't know any other way to ask, but the Tennessee situation, some thoughts there.
Oh, it's I don't know that I've seen something. I was trying to figure out. I've seen bad situations. I've seen things go bad. I don't know that I've seen things go so bad so fast. Now, it's been trending. You and I were doing some work on your show when I lived in Nashville for a little while before I moved back home. And, you know, back then things were good, but, you know, I think we both felt like there were some issues right after they won the title that there's was some loose ends, and it just got gradually worse. And Phillip's been a part of it and probably has been more negative towards the school that, you know, quote-unquote he loves when he wasn't a part of the school. I mean, the backstabbing and, you know, he's now he is kind of buttressed up two tenures that have just collapsed. This one is far worse. This one, I don't know that I've seen one as bad as it's been, and it's been bad for a while, but for completely to collapse, I don't think I've seen a collapse this fast by a major program, and I think it has a lot to do with the current rules of the transfer portal. Cause so back in the day where you were limited what you can do as a player, now they're all leaving, and it is going to be – it's beyond bad. They will end up likely with the worst roster in the conference of the 14 teams by the time this season starts, whoever's coaching them. That's saying something. That's pretty bad. And I know it's been bad. It's just you think it's been bad, Tennessee fans. It's getting worse, and it's going to be worse. What's going to be interesting is how they fix it, what they're allowed to do. They have just had bad culture, bad leadership there for a while, and a lot of it has to do with the politicking from the outside. Maybe, you know, perhaps with Phillip completely out, and maybe with the, you know, not dealing with him trying to work his way back into the administration anymore, maybe they'll have a better chance of success. But the press conference was weird, to say the least. I mean, it was, you know, hey, come on in. Let me tell you what we did. And look what else we found. I mean, it was like, hold on, we got another closet to open up. I mean, it was really something, and tells me that there's a lot there that the NCAA is going to be able to prove. So the NCAA's work is largely done for them. But the thing that was really eerie was it was clear that Phillip, even out the door, had enough power and enough stroke. I mean, I was confused as I thought this was a Phillip Fulmer retirement press conference thanking him out the door. And, oh, by the way, let me tell you about what we've done with our NCAA violations. It was just like, I mean, in his buyout, I mean, it just goes to show you that, you know, he's wielded a lot of power and has had connections to some certain influential folks that even on the way out, he's got a lot of people fooled, and he's had a lot of people fooled for a long time. It's really a shame to see a program just go to this point, and I think it's going to have to be a Matt Rhule type contract if I would recommend any coach taking it, at least 7 years, you know, with the idea that, you know, maybe even more. Hey, 2 or 3 years is just going to be to try to rebuild it. And I don't, you know, certainly what happened wasn't the same that happened at Baylor, but the results may be just as bad in terms of having to replenish a roster, change a culture. You can get somebody to take the job. You always will. But I think right now you're going to have a lot of questions by anybody that's interviewing for that job. And I don't know that Tennessee's going to be able to answer all of them, because all they can do is say what they found. They can't answer with definitive, you know, answers about what the NCAA is going to do. They can speculate, but very often that speculation is off the mark.
They've got, I've seen 20, 22, whatever the number is, players in the portal, but a couple of names. Ty Chandler already has found a new home, North Carolina, but Eric Gray and Henry To'o, excellent players. I don't know, man, where they'll end up, but I bet their phone's ringing off the hook.
Oh, no question. I mean, these guys are NFL players.
Yeah.
And, this is what makes, you know, this is college football free agency. We've said this for a couple of years now, ever since this portal situation has been. This is now, you know, you've got to integrate them quickly if they're, you know, upperclassmen, but you got two plug-and-play impact players, you know, that wherever they go, they are impact guys. That says an awful lot. And in Yeah, man, I think Wanyu Morris is a great pickup for Oklahoma. I mean, yeah, what they did have in terms of talent, it's gone. And how about Phillip? You know, they had a press conference announcing that they're basically parting ways with 10 people because of recruiting, and Phillip's comment was, well, Jeremy's done a good job recruiting.
I mean,
I'm like, God bless him. Is this it's really happening?
It was like Phillip was saying this, but in his mind he's saying, what are you doing?
It's one of those things you say that, you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you answer the phone and, you know, I'm up. Yeah, well, you know, you don't know what day it is. You don't know if it's 5 a.m. or 5 p.m. I mean, it was just like that was something. But you can clear it's like, you know, make sure they just made it, and it's, you know, Jeremy's responsible for that program, which he is. But Phillip doesn't have any responsibility for it. And we thank him for his service again. I mean, I'm just like, wow, what a family. What a family up on the hill.
Chris, we got a break, but just quick, kind of obvious here. Jeremy's going to have a tough time finding a gig in college, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, what we don't know is what's the NCAA and the SEC's take on it. I mean,
right.
Is it show cause? I mean, anything official? So the NFL's really the only viable option, as I can tell. Now, I'm guessing legally you can check into that, and unless the NCAA – if the NCAA or the SEC doesn't have a ruling on it, I don't know if it puts – right now it puts him in limbo. I would suspect that he'd be under a show cause. So, yes, he absolutely probably has to go pro ball until that is cleared up, until they find out otherwise.
Chris, got a few minutes?
Absolutely.
Okay, Chris Landry. More with him, and, of course, we'll let you know how you can get all of his information, LandryFootball.com, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Get into the Bill King Show. Shit, man, I just lost my train of thought. All right, dude, here's a couple of phones. 3, 2. Call 615-844-5600.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com, Georgia Dog. Bill, ask Chris about Kirby Smart and Coach Mark Richt. He says they have similar records after 5 years. The SEC, when Richt arrived, had won only 4 natties in 20 years going back to 1980. When Kirby arrived, the SEC had won 8 of the last 10. Much different task with the Death Star being in Alabama. So your thoughts there on that, Chris?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's very easy to look at numbers and the results and say, because the numbers are the same, you could have a game that is 28-24 and the games are completely different, right? But if you have that number and you just look at the numbers, you're completely missing the game. Well, this is looking at the stats and saying it's the same. It's not. The results may be similar in terms of overall record, but there's no question that the quality of teams, who they are, schedules each and every year are different. If anybody knows football and watches and sees the program as similar, then they really don't know what they're looking at. I mean, there's no one that looks at football that sees how the soup is made, how the meal is made, and see it. It is completely different in how the programs are run. So it is not the same. The end result may not be good enough, but I think – I'll sum it up this way. I think it is more fixable with Kirby. Now, I don't know whether he's going to fix it. I don't know whether he's going to completely be able to adjust and modify the offense. You know, he's maybe trending that way. Let's see. So he may not be any more successful in overall results, but how he's doing it is completely different than what Mark did. It's the culture, the toughness, what they do, the consistency. I mean, it's they do things pretty consistent behind the scenes at Georgia under Kirby. Every visit to Georgia was always a mystery when Mork was there. It's to me, it's completely different. The results may be similar, and that's all people care about, and that's all people know, but it looks a whole lot different how they make it.
Chris, what is happening at LSU? And talk to us about the Saints situation with LSU and either blocking or not blocking.
Well, there's a lot of misinformation out there about how this played out, and obviously you're dealing in a media world where it's a lot of fanboy media stuff that talks about, you know, we'll want to point blame. First of all, I've known Ryan for years. Saints hired Ryan Nielsen from North Carolina State. Ryan was a defensive lineman at USC under Pete and Ed, and wanted to get into coaching. When he got hired by the Saints, the Saints were looking at a few defensive line coaches, some with more experience. When they hired him, the deal was, look, we're going to train you to coach in the NFL, which is different than in college. You know, but you know, we're not going to train you for somebody else to go back to college. So they put it in the contract that there'd be some financial remuneration if he left. But that is pretty standard when you do that. It is, you can't really hold a guy from going from one to the other unless you want to have a lawsuit. It's not like in the NFL where you're a defensive line coach. You can't, and you're under contract. You can't leave to go somewhere else unless it's a promotion. So, you know, Ryan, Ed ended up, because he knows Ryan, contacted Ryan. He didn't go through proper protocols, which there's a courtesy. There is a kind of a moral way that you do things in the coaching profession, NFL, college. You need to go through Sean. You need to go through Mickey Loomis. I realize Sean's busy with, you know, but you can call Mickey and get permission. Ryan knew he had that clause in the contract all along. You know, this is completely the fault of LSU not doing their homework and knowing that he had that. There's a high level of gullibility by LSU in these coaching searches, head coaches, assistant coaches. They think somebody's coming. They don't really ferret the situation out enough, and they get used quite a bit, and it's kind of embarrassing. Ryan, I think, had a definite interest, but in the end, he understands that his future is going to be best tied to Sean Payton than the, you know, lack of consistency at LSU, which is very volatile, which it may work or it may be one and done, which we've seen. So I think a lot's been made of that. Look, the Saints didn't hold him to that contract. The Saints gave him a new contract. The other thing, the Saints – or any NFL team is not under any obligation to pay their money and to use their resources to train somebody for somebody else. Sean has let numerous coaches go and become successful and in the NFL, college, whatever. But if he likes them, which he did, and he has done a great job with that defensive line for the Saints, he doesn't want to lose them. So he's going to say, look, well, this is what we can do for you. He's now assistant head coach on a new 3-year deal. And they just lost Aaron Glenn as defensive coordinator to the Lions, who's going to coach for Dan Campbell, who also left with the Saints. You've got Dennis Allen, which I don't think he's going to get the Eagles job, but he's a candidate. My point is it's not the job of an NFL team to train for somebody else. And Ed's become desperate. Like the offensive coordinator hire. He didn't know what to do. He calls Joe Brady and says, Joe, who can run your offense? I mean, it's like they're having to, and I think, you know, that's the issue and that's the problem. So a lot of it is, well, the Saints are the bad guy. No, they're not. It's gullibility and really a poor job vetting it by Ed. That's not a strength. And that's where it is, and I just think that needs to be cleared up, because the whole thing, this and that, is just, you know, by people who don't know how NFL and college contracts work. And the people that are talking about it, they are not talking, you know, the quote-unquote sources. I talk to the very people that are involved, and it's very often wrong. So I just, you know, that's something that I think that's out there that needs to be cleared up, so hopefully we did.
Aliquip of Bob, ask Chris what he thinks about Penn State hiring Mike Yurcich.
Mike is a boy. He's a mover now. He doesn't stay very long. It's interesting that they made the move from Soraka. Look, here's what it means. It means that there was something there personality-wise that wasn't working. Because 1 year, particularly this past year, you don't normally make that move unless there's some personality conflict. Mike is a guy that, well, first of all, he's from that area. You know, you probably know, Bob probably knows, and everybody, a lot of people probably know, he came to Oklahoma State from Shippensburg, a Division III Pennsylvania school. Look, I mean, he's had some success, but he's a guy that has been a little bit interesting in terms of how he kind of relates to folks. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Obviously, with a new year and a complete offseason, you'd have a much better chance of success than what they were able to get done like anybody last year.
Chris, tell everybody how they can get all of your information.
LandryFootball.com is where you want to go. It's where you can get all the real information on a lot of these coaching searches, the details of what's going on, why, and the first-hand information, not the gossip. We got that for you if you like that type of stuff. If you like following everything in the transfer portal and everything going on, recruiting and getting ready to put out, obviously, the complete 2020, most of the guys, as everyone knows, has signed, but who's still remaining that's still out there with scouting reports on them? Got that for you. The NFL draft, obviously, we've got a different way we're going to be handling combine stuff this year, and all the draft preparation, free agency. We've got it all for you at LandryFootball.com. One-stop shopping football is like having your own coaching and scouting department for less than a magazine subscription. So check it out. We've still got our holiday special up. We're going to transition that. So take advantage of that. It's less than $10 a month. It's even less than that if you take advantage of the year offer. So you can get all our TV shows, the Twitch channel, podcasts. We got it all for you. A lot of new stuff. We are got a big plans as we get the football season behind me. Big plans for a lot more shows coming up that we've been planning on the TV side. So check it all out at LandryFootball.com.